And before I start, I'd just like to, again, welcome all of you. And I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to stand still. I'm a very movable, I move a lot. So if I'm moving, please, I hope you accept that. But as I began my study some 3 or 4 weeks ago after Pastor asked me to speak, I thought, well, you know, we talk about grace, okay? And I asked the question, why grace? Because there's many different opportunities or different ways we can go as human beings. As we understand, life gives us that free, God gives us that free will. So I wanted to kind of talk about why grace, because there's something significant about why grace. First of all, understanding grace. What is grace? Some of us understand, or most of us, or all of us, understand grace to be something that God gives us that we really don't deserve. And having something that we don't deserve is kind of foreign to us as people, as humans. And so I thought about answering this question, but I wanted to answer this question in different ways. Why grace? Because as a grace believer, you have something that really you don't deserve, or I don't deserve. And then you have to ask yourself, why do you have it? See, because a lot of times we, as humans, work on this reward system where we get something for something that we do. But then God thought enough of us and He gives us something for something that we didn't do that He knows that we can't do, and He just gives it to us. And see, that's hard for some people to take or to accept, because they want to do something for something. But see, God, rich in mercy, He knew that you and I didn't deserve it. So when I looked at text and more text, I said to myself, okay, I could easily be overwhelmed with why grace. So we're going to concentrate on Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to use verses 1 and maybe get down to verse 9. I'm not sure if we make it that far, but I promise you this, we'll be done on time. Okay? I hope. But I do want to welcome our visitors this morning, and I do want to invite them and help them understand that this morning I'm filling in for Pastor. We are Grace Church, and we hope that if there's anything or any questions that you may have, that you come back again so that we may be able to answer those questions. But being a Grace Church, what we believe in is that we do not deserve anything that we get from God. He just feels great about enough about Himself to take care of that debt for us. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 1. Now I look at this verse, and it says, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in sins and trespasses and sins." Now keep in mind the question of why grace. So if He had to quicken us, and we were dead in trespasses and sins, why grace? Why grace? Verse 2, it says, "Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the air, or the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children and children of disobedience." So when we begin to think about what that verse is saying, first of all, He quickened us. Okay? He quickened us for a reason, and to be quickened is to be made alive. We're sinners, and we walked according to the course of this world. And when you think about the course of this world, it's evil. And it's evil because Satan has such a big say on everything and everything that goes on in this world. You take today, when we look at the things that are happening around us, where we have to recreate a constitution to protect us, a Grace Church, from having to worry about a lawsuit for someone who could walk in and be upset because they can't get married here. That's evil. That's because of sin. See, that's not something that just happened. When you look at our children today, where they take technology and they use technology for the wrong thing. You take adults that continue to do things that they know that may not be right. When you think about this, these are things that come by way of sin. And he says in verse 1 that he quickened who were dead in sins and trespasses and sins. The verse starts with telling us where we were in Christ. Where we were in this world without Him. So again, ask yourself, why grace? It goes on to talk about in times past, you walked according to the course of this world. Walking according to the course of this world. You know, I work in a situation in the last 3 months, anxiety before I go to work. That's not because of the kids. It's not because of certain things. It's because of the path that we are on as a world. Because sin is just there. And it's tolerated. It's acceptable. But God has a different plan. Because for those of us that understand the dispensation of the grace of God, understand that we can move through these things, not only trusting in ourselves, but trusting in God. He provides us that through grace. Why grace? Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who is the prince of the power of the air that this scripture is referring to? Satan. See, Satan is magical. You know, sometimes things happen in our lives and we turn and we as grace believers can turn and know that it's not God. But you take those that don't understand the dispensation of the grace of God or those that don't understand what grace means and they try to compare those bad things and try to place that bad on God. Well, that's not our God. See, we fight a daily battle. Whether we're driving, whether we're in a store, whether we're at work, whether we're dealing with family members. It's there. Sin is there. The prince of the air, Satan, is there. We see that every day. See, when I think about why grace, if it wasn't for understanding grace, I drive almost to work and turn around and go back. But because of His grace, it gives me enough courage and strength to go on and do what I got to do. Because at the end of the day, I know I'm not doing it for Satan. I'm doing it for God. See, we have to be able to understand our position as believers. Understand our position as grace believers. Because when we're able to do that, then we're able to place our frustration and understanding about those things that happen that we least expect happen in the right place. Because we all deal with things. We deal with loss. We deal with jobs. We deal with the things that we hear of the world. But having the ability to put those things in a perspective as a believer. Now think about this for a second. We're believers. But then you have non-believers. You have non-believers that exist among us wherever we go that have no understanding of the dispensation of the grace of God, that have no understanding of what God is even doing, and they travel the road. They travel through and navigate themselves through life with no understanding. But then you have you. Think about this now. As a Christian, as a grace believer, you're able to take what you know about God, the power of His Word, apply it to your life, and you can navigate those hard things. See, grace is something that you just can't go to the store and pick out. It's something that's given to you. Something that He felt enough of us. He kept it a mystery. It was a secret. And then He finds this guy by the name of Paul and he says, Paul, here, I need you to take care of this. And lo and behold, all of us, from one way or another, end up here in grace. Why grace? So when in verse 2, it goes back to verse 2, when it talks about the walking according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, man, we were lost. We had no hope. This was not something that you were going to figure out. We couldn't have figured this thing out. Sometimes we work at little projects and, you know, put it together one way and then that's not right. And we turn and we put it together another thing and then we might get it. But see, this you won't get. Because only God can figure this out. This is why grace is so important. Because there was no way that we were going to be able to accomplish this on our own. Because He knew that you had this Satan that was out there, this person, this thing that was out there that was going to disrupt or distract or destruct everything that He designed. See, when you decided that you were going to listen to the grace message, when you decided that you were going to study the grace message, what you decided was that you were no longer going to go and try to figure it out on your own. You were going to accept something that was given to you that you didn't deserve. See, because without it, you're lost. I mean, you can go work. You can try to figure it out. You can go do what the rest are doing. But the reality is that the finished work was done at Calvary. You know, you listen to some of these radio shows and some of these pastors, and they're teaching these folks that they must do this or they got to do that. They got to go this way and give this and give that and all this other stuff. But you know what? They're not doing anything in God's eyes. See, you can't outdo what God has done. He doesn't need you to. See, that's a distraction. That becomes a distraction. Because the reality is that the truth is that we, as believers, have to give it up and give it over to God. You know, because sometimes, you know, we tend to do those things and we think to ourselves, man, I did a real good job. God looked nothing. Nope. You did a good job, you think. But I did a better job. It gets dry up here. I'm sorry. So, verse 3. Now, why don't you keep in the back of your mind why grace? Because when you look at, as we look through these different verses, there are so many things that's being said, and there's so many ways of looking at it. But the reality is, as we look at it here, I want you to keep in mind that we're going to get to the answer of the question, why grace? Among whom also we had our conversations in time past, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. No, there's a lot said in that verse about, thank you, about how it really came to this point and about who we really are. Those conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You know, as people, we concentrate on taking care of ourselves. We want to be happy. We want to feel good. We want to go to places that we want to go to. We want to eat the meals that we want to eat. Because we take care of self first. But when we're doing that, in doing that, you sometimes turn a blind face or eye to God. I'm not saying that we don't deserve these things. I'm not saying that, and the Scripture is not either. But it's trying to set the mindset that we were in a bad shape. We were in bad shape. Among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. When I think about the mind, have you ever just got yourself in a mindset where you start thinking about things and you don't allow for those things to leave your mind because you're so wound up in your thoughts, because you may feel so bad about something that someone's doing to you or how something turned out. Our minds are powerful. And as humans, we allow for our minds to take over and do the things that it wants to do in not realizing that God's plan is the one that's most important. I think about it a lot. Lately, I sit at work, and I know that I'm working with a bunch of non-Christians. If they are Christians, they have a whole different way of showing it. You go from one adult to another adult, and then there's issues, and there's judgment, and there's frustration, and there's anxiety, and there's tension. And I think about this whole thing. This is the things that we take in daily, and these are the things that have been created to happen because of that prince, the power of the air. See, because if I can make you think and feel a certain way, then I got you. Imagine a non-believer. A non-believer, a person that has never accepted Christ, a person that walks out into this world and the power and the princes of the air is directing them and leading them and guiding them and pushing them and coercing them to do the things and say the things and act the way that God would not have them to do. You ask yourself, why grace? You ask yourself, why did God decide to do this for us? And we get in the car and we drive across the country. Don't even think about it. See, grace is something else. Faith is even something else, even more. See, because of without faith, then grace means absolutely nothing. It's hard to stay on note. Let's just get rid of them. So when we think about this, we are in a much better position. So you take verse 1, 2, and 3. 2 talks about in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also, we had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And then verse 4 comes along and says, but God. All that transpired up to that point. And then verse 4 starts with, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. But why did He love us? Why did He love us so much that He was willing to do all He did for us? But why? You know, when you, I was finding little definitions of grace, and grace is, it said that grace is love that cares, that cares and stoops. Grace is unconditional towards a person who does not deserve it. Unconditional. That's like one of a mother's love for their child. Unconditional. A mother can love and not love their kid at the same time. I think fathers can too. Yeah. Unconditional. Why unconditional? Why does this thing called grace have to be, or why is it unconditional? So when you think about it, something that is unconditional, it means good, bad, or ugly, it's okay. Grace is free sovereign favor to the ill-deserving. Imagine that. You don't deserve it, but you get it. Didn't work all week, but still get a paycheck. No sick days or personal time. No. But God, good, bad, or ugly, here. So when you think about why grace? Grace is the most, one says that grace is the most important concept in the Bible, Christianity, and the world. The most important concept. What makes it the most important? I mean, if you think about grace and you think about law, of course, law is conditional. Grace being not conditional or unconditional, I guess then the unconditional would probably be the most important concept if you really think about it. As we think about why grace, as you sit in your seats this morning, And we know our own lives. We know what we're capable of. We know what we're not capable of. We know how we think. We know how we do what we do when we do it. Why did God love you enough? Why did it happen for you? So, in thinking that, now that it's happened to you, imagine your job to try to bring someone else. I was sitting and speaking with this person on Thursday, and the one person sat, and I don't know how we got to the conversation, and the one person says, well, I'm a Christian, but she's an atheist. And I looked at the other one, the young lady, and I said, aw. And she says, aw. I said, yeah, aw. She says, why do you say aw? I said, because you're missing out. And the other young lady says, well, I try to tell her that. And the young lady says to me, well, Mr. Smith, how do you know? I said, girl, look out the window. Look at the trees. Look at the pollen blowing all around where people can't breathe. That didn't just happen. You have people around you, among you, with you, in your family, everywhere, that do not believe that God really exists, that there is a heaven and that there is a hell. She says to me, how do you know what's up there? I said, how do you know what's not up there? I said, you know, we probably shouldn't have this conversation. She says, no, I want to talk about it. I said, no, we probably shouldn't have this conversation. She says, no, I want to talk about it. I said, okay. Thank God for a smartphone. But the fact of the matter is that when you think about why grace, and when you think about who you are in the Word of God, when you think about your position in having and understanding grace, it takes you from a place of not knowing to a place of fully understanding that you don't deserve it. It breaks my heart when young people have not been given a real opportunity to understanding the Word of God. And when I say a real opportunity, what I mean is in a situation where they can understand that it is nothing about them, it's nothing that they can do, it's just believing and nothing else. Because a lot of people don't get that opportunity. I started in a Baptist church, and we were talking about baptism at breakfast. There's a question that we talked about. But the fact is that I thought then that in order for me to receive something, I had to be baptized. Because that was a traditional thing to do, to show that you were part of something, but it really didn't show nothing that I come to understand later. Because it's not about me. It's not about you. See, because if it's left up to us, we're going to fail at it. We live in a world where there's so much confusion of what God is doing. But if one would take this Bible and rightly divide the Word of God and go into this thing and understand that if they would just accept the fact that the blood was shed at Calvary and give up who they think they are, then they would be all right. But you know what? We always want to do something. We're going to make it better. You know, think about how they uncrossed. You start off with maybe 10 apples. Now you got 100 different types of apples because someone wants to sit there and going to make the apple just a little bigger. They want to make an apple last a little longer and they want to turn it into this. You know, leave God's stuff alone. You go to a produce department, you got fruit you never even heard of before. Looking all kinds of different ways. That's why people are confused. The reality is that man messes up everything that he does. Why on earth did the Lord Jesus Christ have to be born of a virgin birth? Because God knew. We're not capable of doing it right. Even when you don't have to worry about being punished, you'll still mess it up. Or should I say we will mess it up? Because that's human nature. Because we want to do it bigger. We want it better. God don't require all of that. Grace certainly doesn't require all of that. Grace certainly doesn't require you to add nothing to grace. But you know what's interesting about it? If you just accept grace, spiritually, you mature quicker. Because you begin to accept and appreciate the fact that it's not left up to you. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath He quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are you saved. Even when we were at our worst. Who just does that? Because think about it. We live in a world of a punishment system, a punitive system. You speed, you get a ticket. You don't pay the ticket, you get another ticket. If you don't pay that ticket, you get time. That's how we function. That's how the world functions. Past due, you get interest, you pay late payment. It's always punitive. But God says, you know what? You can pay your electric bill late for me. I don't care. Because I done did it all for you. That's grace. Now, don't sit here and think that grace is so free that you won't have to pay for nothing. Because guess what? When you get up there, He's going to deal with you on the basis of who you are. You know, we talked about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in our study. Just remember, precious stone, gold, silver, wood, hay, or stubble. Just because it's grace don't mean that you want to be living the wood, hay, and stubble route. Because at the end of the day, a strong wind will blow it and fire will burn it. See, precious stones and silver, it can withstand the heat. Just kind of polish it up. Grace is free, but it's not something you want to take advantage of. Because I think sometimes, God's forgiven me. Yep. But you still got to talk to Him. You still got to stand before Him. See, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath He quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why do you do that? Why did He do anything that He did the way that He did for us? You know, it's so easy to think that we deserve so much when in reality we deserve so little. And see, all of our credit, it should be due or given to Him. Anything good about us should be given to the Lord, the credit to Him. So we didn't deserve it. See, it's Satan's design to make us puff our chest out and want to take the credit for certain things. But God, who was rich in mercy, for His great love wherein He loved us, He was rich in mercy. He was rich in mercy. He knew that we weren't. All of the things that we were a part of, all of the things that was happening, all of the things that Satan did to kind of pre-set our mindsets and our lives of different ways, He knew. God knew that Satan was busy. God knew that the only way that we were going to get any relief from anything in life was that He was going to have to be rich in mercy. That was His responsibility He took on. Didn't have to, but He did. You know, I remember when I came into the grace message by way of my wife. I was 15 years old. I had started in the Baptist church and studied with the Seventh-day Adventist and apostolic. And you go from one situation of celebrating the Sabbath to another situation of speaking in tongues to water back. All of these different things that don't matter. Tried it all. And if it was left up to those things, I would have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know what? I didn't understand what it was all about until I came into the grace message. But then I thought about it as I was studying, how many people have tried all those different things and still have no clue who they are in Christ? How many people go out week after week, service after service, prayer meeting after prayer meeting, and sit in these places and still think it's all about them? But then you have Scripture right here in Ephesians chapter 2 that tells you all about yourself, where you come from and all, and exactly who took care of you. It's frightening. It's so frightening because when you begin to think about it and wrap your mind around the many different religions and understandings and Bibles and so on and so forth, who is the author of all that confusion? Not God. But Satan is. Sometimes I look at technology today and I think Satan thinks that he figured it all out, using technology to destroy. Because you can push enter and destroy someone's life. And there's so many things about the Word of God that people have I don't know if they just are denying it or just confused. But when I started in the Grace Message at Westside in Muskegon, it was different. It was different. It was different because you didn't have to do these things. You didn't have to speak in tongues. You didn't have to be water baptized. You were so imperfect, but then made perfect. How does that work? I mean, as a young person, I would go to church with Chandra, and what are they doing? It was like our service. We sang from the helm, and pastor wouldn't run and hoop and holler, and all those things weren't happening. But the message, but the Word of God was being preached, rightly divided. You know, I've watched some of you all come in over the years, and the growth and the understanding of the grace message, being able to rightly divide the word of truth, being able to understand how God is so the one to follow, so to speak, that His grace is sufficient, that He did this for you, and you're no longer under this system that requires you to give and think this way and do these things, but just glory in the fact that He sent His Son to die on the cross for your sin. Man, what a relief to know it's not about us. So in verse 6, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." That in the ages to come He might show His exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. You know, if the Word of God, rightly divided, or the grace message does not excite us, I don't know what will. We truly have something that many people don't have. We have an understanding of the Word that is meant, how it's meant to be understood. We're not adding or taking away from, but we're taking the verses and using the verses the way that God would have us to do it. And in being able to do that, then able to understand that grace is sufficient. Why grace? You know, there could be something else. But would that something else allow you to be who you are in Christ? Would it be about you, or will it be about something else, or will it be about God? Why grace? I know that we've studied these verses in great length, and I didn't go to a lot of different verses because I didn't want to bore you. And I wanted to be able to get done on time. But verse 8, it says, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Some would say that's not enough. Some would say that it has to be about something else. It can't just be this free gift, because you don't deserve it. Why would God give you a gift knowing that you don't deserve it and you don't have to do nothing else? See, the religious system will have you to believe that you need to add something to that. But the fact of the matter, thinking about our nature, thinking about the scriptures that we read prior to this one, what could we possibly add that is better than what God has already done or are doing? But see, that old nature, we just got to do something. We just want to add. We just want to help. We want to show that we're connected. We want to show that we love God, and we want to show it. But see, God don't require you to do all that showing. He wants you to know on the inside that you know what you know, so that you can apply it to your life and use it in your daily life and show others by way of speaking, expressing, and living. You don't have to be a spectacle. But see, the system will require you to add just a little bit more to it. If you truly believe, show me by way of this. See, that's man's way. If you really want to be my friend, show me. God's saying, you know what? I don't need you to do anything. He says, because what I'm giving you, when I give you this gift, I'm giving it because you don't deserve it. You owe me nothing back, but take my gift. You can have it. It's almost like having a birthday party and expecting to get a gift from those that's having a birthday. You take a gift. You don't charge no one for a gift. God's not charging us. He's giving it to you. You don't deserve it, but He's giving it to you. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So when you ask the question, why grace? Why the gift? Why this unmerited gift? Why this favor? Why? You know, because a lot of times, I'm not sure if we really know why. But it's simple. Because we would not be able to achieve it on our own. We're humans. We're humans living in a sin-cursed world. Sin-cursed. And there's nothing about God that's sin. So if you bring your dirty rags to Him and His rags are clean, why would He want yours? He doesn't need it. He doesn't want it. See, because as long as He gives it out, He knows it's pure. He knows it's clean. He knows it's good. See, because the whole idea is that, you know, back in a ways back, you know, Satan called himself being a little on the slick side. And he was willing to give God whatever because he wanted to be that man, so to speak. But God wasn't having it. I remember a student asked me, Mr. Smith, why did Satan leave heaven? I said, look, he didn't just leave, he got kicked out. He couldn't stay there no longer. See, if he couldn't stay there in heaven any longer and God kicked him out, and we were born of sin, and we're sin, then what can we take to Him that's any different? Nothing. So I'm going to say this. So those of you that may be sitting out here this morning and have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to think about this. Number one is easy. Number two, come out of your own self. Let self go for a second. And think about who you are without God. And think about who you are connected to Satan. Now, if you go back to some of the few verses that we talked about where it says that we're in times past, verse 2, Ephesians 2, verse 2, it says we're in times past, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. See, that's who we were. And a non-believer, that's where you are.
So you need to think about where you really want to be, because at the end of the day, you can't be in both places. You're either going to be in or you're going to be out. But the most significant thing about it, Calvary took care of all of it. All you have to do is believe. Believe that He died on the cross for your sins, that He shed that blood for you. See, that's the payment. That's the reason why you get that free gift. That's why you get something that you don't deserve, because it was taken care of. I know we want to give a little bit more to what God has done, but He doesn't want it. He doesn't need it.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now you know, man love to just boast about everything. We do. Got a new boat. My yard is better than yours. We boast.
But God says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. You don't need to boast because you didn't do it. I did it all for you.
Why grace? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to sum it up. I'm sure I have a lot of time left. How much time do I have left? He said zero. Good. So let me sum it up real quick. No. I'm going to sum it up. When we understand who we are, and let me just put it like this. When we understand who we are in this world, now this world being this huge place, and then you put self right into this world, and you put self into this world that is going in the wrong direction. You put self into this world that work among things and people that unbelievers and chaos and confusion. You put self in a family situation that's going wrong, and in a marriage that's going wrong, and in kids that are going wrong. You put self in the streets of violence, and where young people are being taken out of here, and so on and so forth. When you put self there, and you understand that self being there, no matter what, and no matter how you find yourself, as a believer, the Lord Jesus Christ did it all for you, and you didn't deserve it, regardless to what your situation is, regardless to how you find yourself from day to day. See, because a lot of times we get down on ourselves because maybe it didn't work out. But the fact of the matter is that it's working out. Because as long as you understand and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, as long as you understand that when we were dead in sins and trespasses, He who was rich in mercy, for His great love wherein He loved us, and He brought us together. Now, if all of what you go through and Christ has taken care of it, what more can you do? See, studying the Word of God, allowing the Word of God to work in you, after a while you fill something up with something, it starts overflowing. So the more you put in you, the more it comes out. And as it comes out, it's shared. People see it. Your life sees it. Your mind sees it. And when your mind and your body begin to accept it, you have nowhere else to go but with that. Why grace? Because you and I deserve nothing else. But because He loved us so much, because He knew that we couldn't do it without grace. I mean, He tried other things. He tried the law. Only to show, to make a point.
But then he gives us something that is free. He says, here's yours, use it. I'm giving you this. Man, if we just let that grace that God gives us just work within our lives, it's amazing what we accomplish. It's amazing how we feel. You know, I mentioned earlier the stress of work. But every morning, having that prayer, having that opportunity to realize and put my mind in perspective, I'm able to withstand it. Only because I know it's not about me. But see, as believers, that's what we need to do. We need to understand that grace is the most important thing that we can understand as believers. Without grace, where would we be?
Well, we're on time.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share my study and my understanding of the Word of God with my church family. I thank you for them allowing me to stand before them. I thank you for their encouragement of their words prior to me starting. Father, I am so grateful that I understand that your grace is sufficient. I am so grateful to understand that it is certainly a free gift. Father, I am grateful to understand that as we live in a country where things are getting so messed up that we're able to put our minds in the right place and our minds at ease and knowing that these days are becoming our last days, but our understanding of the Word of God rightly divided allows us to have an understanding and know that we'll leave this place and spend eternity with you. Father, I thank you for our visitors come out this morning, and we pray that the Word was clear, and Father, we pray that they come back. Father, I thank you for all of my church family. And again, Father, we just thank you for this Veterans Day. We pray for all of our veterans that have served and fought in this country to give us this freedom and this understanding that I today can stand before other people and share my understanding of the Word of God, rightly divided. It's your name we pray and give thanks. Amen.